Thank you, Dan, so much for that introduction. Really, all you had to say is we're friends. And that is true. And what an honor to be here, to honor 30 years of celebration. I am going to probably make Pastor Brad and Rhonda a little uncomfortable because I know them well enough to know, as he serves as our assistant superintendent and Rhonda over our narrative ministry across our state, I know one thing about 30 years of ministry. You don't stay in a church for 30 years. I stayed at my church for 23 years if ministry becomes about you. And even though we're here to honor 30 years, I can tell you there's a measure of uncomfortableness in both Brad and Rhonda to feel as the center of attention. But let me just say, you deserve it. And we are here to honor you. But let me also just say, so that they hear this as well, they know this. The secret is they didn't do this alone. And so today we're honoring them and we're celebrating the collective us of Brighton Assembly of God. And by the way, the first thing that's ever happened to me in speaking, somebody asked me if the temperature was good for me to preach. Most of our churches, many of our churches don't even have air conditioning. So that was the first time I've been honored by asking what the temperature is. So, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to sweat anyway. So let me just say, when Pastor Brad and Rhonda began, when they began ministry here at Brighton, there was a lot of things that were different than they are today. Just a lot of things. First of all, eggs were 93 cents a dozen. Bacon was $1.49 a pound. Now you have to take a mortgage out for a pound of bacon. The average price of gas was $1.13. How many remember at that time you could take 20 bucks, fill your tank with gas, go to a movie, and eat Taco Bell for 20 bucks? How many remember those days? The average price of a new car was $16,500. A first-class stamp was 29 cents. The minimum wage was $4.25. And believe this or not, AT&T introduced the very first video phone at $1,499. How many know prices haven't changed even though technology got better? A lot of things changed, including Pastor Brad and I both had hair. And I don't know if you ever get this, but I get this asked wherever I go. Do you buff your head? No, I don't buff my head. It just naturally glows with the glory of the Lord. Amen? Pastor Brad can relate to that. How much has changed, but yet how much hasn't changed? The important stuff of 30 years ago, beginning in ministry, and it's the same important, truly important thing today, and that is when you boil it down, it's to God and people. This is what pastors are called to serve. First, God, which is his will, his call upon their life, which is evident both in Pastor Brad and I'm going to say Pastor Rhonda. She's a pastor as well. And it's God's will. And then it's God's passion, which is people. Every good pastor must possess a sense of the calling of God on their life, but also a passion for the people they're called to. And not just inside these walls, but in the community and the surrounding communities where the church is founded. And just as much as culture and prices and things have changed, I can tell you over 30 years of ministry, so have your pastors. 30 years in one location requires you to build and dismantle the thing you built in parts, to rebuild and do this multiple times over a 30-year ministry. You have to remember, a pastor who's been there a long period of time creates the systems that later they remove. It is a very unique ability for someone to navigate through 30 years of ministry to recognize the season and what worked in the previous may not work in the present, and to have the guts, the strength, the anointing, the ability to see that, not be touchy, make the adjustment and move to the next thing is part of the gift of 30 years of ministry. And if you don't believe me, you just have to trust me that that's true. There are three parts to a pastor's life I want to talk about briefly. Number one is the public ministry. See, the role of a pastor is a unique thing because everybody in this audience and those that they have been pastors over for decades thinks they understand what a pastor does. Oftentimes, A church only sees the public side of pastoring. They see the pastor who preaches, and both your lead pastors have the ability to preach excellent messages. From what I understand, Brad, I told them to leave my microphone on, but mute it, but not listen to me, because I'm the worst singer on earth, and I don't want to tell you something, but immediately everyone around me said, we're used to that. Listen, your pastor's not perfect. He can't sing, but thank God he can preach. Amen? Amen. Sometimes people see pastors talking in the hallway, greeting people and saying hello and doing all the kind, wonderful things pastors do. And we think that's what a pastor does. Pastors are public in nature. They preach and they shake hands and they give hugs and they say hi to people on a Sunday. But that's only a small part of what a pastor does. Pastors wrestle with the perspectives of other people or the expectations of other people. I remember at my church, we had a guy come to me and he said, listen, I want you to know I've decided to make this my home church, but I haven't tithed in a while I was looking for a new church, and I have a $10,000 tithe check, and he's holding it. Remember when we used to do those weird bags that somewhere along the way we created with the handles? He's holding it over an usher and over the bag, and he says, Pastor, I want to give this tithe today, but only if you get rid of electric guitars and drums. They're evil. By the way, my usher was trying to move the basket up to try to get that check in there, and I kindly took the check, folded it, and said, sir, first of all, you don't know how to tithe because you don't use a tithe to control. How many say amen to that? That's not a tithe. You give that to the Lord through the local church. But number two, I said, we're going to keep our guitars and drums. But how many know, sometimes people think the goal of a pastor is to make the church exactly what you want it to be. And the truth is, there are those public things. There are those things of baby dedications and water baptism, business meetings, prayer meetings, board meetings, staff meetings, leadership meetings, outreach events, fun events, and of course, preaching. But those are just a small part of what a pastor does. Because there's the private ministry that happens in a local church. It's the stuff that most people never get to see. Only a few get to observe it. But if you've observed it and you received it, it makes you love your pastor more. A pastor sometimes has sleepless nights due to the concern and the hurt they carry for those in their congregation. 30 years of ministry is a celebration point, but that's 30 years of carrying the burdens in the heart of the congregants that they've pastored. The loss of a church member to death, oftentimes someone they love dearly that they sort of put their emotions on the shelf for the funeral service to be able to minister to the church, to not become the center of attention, often to go to their car when no one sees and burst into tears themselves as they face the grief of their own personal loss. The emergency phone calls that come unexpected. Here's what I've learned. Many of the emergency phone calls are emergencies. Most of the emergency phone calls over the years were not. Can I just tell you, if your reply is you can wait till Monday, just let it wait till Monday. That's not an emergency. The reality is, most of a pastor's life is a series of interruptions. That's why a pastor and their family is equally a part of the ministry. You know that Ellie and Eli lend their parents to the church every time their parents show up to the church. There's sort of this pastor's kid thing that we all know that when you come to church, it's like mom and dad, I gifted them to the church for that season till I get back in the car and then demand we go to the restaurant I want to go to. How it works. There are prayer nights, painful nights, worried nights, sleepless nights, exhausting nights, counseling when nobody sees. Then there were those nights, I don't know, Pastor Brad and Rhonda, if you have these, when everything goes so well that you can't sleep because your adrenaline keeps you up. And you just know it's the breakthrough you're waiting for until the next Sunday and you're immediately reminded, nope, that wasn't it. Additionally, there are unrealized visions that reside in dreams within your pastors. Pastor Brad preaches, I have a suspicion that he's wired like me. He doesn't just preach to those here. He sees the potential of what could be. the life of a pastor as they run through the city, drive through the city, shop in a city. They run into people everywhere knowing that they need Jesus with all their heart and hoping and praying that some way, somehow, our church will be able to reach the community because Jesus needs to be exalted. How many say amen to that? Amen. Pastor never takes a break from the burden and the mantle of leadership they carry for their church and the community. Many times, in fact, this is a true day in my life. I wrote it down when it happened. I got a call in the morning that said, "Hey, Pastor Aaron, we're engaged. Will you do our wedding?" Followed about 2 hours later with, "Hey, Pastor, so-and-so and my family died. Will you do the funeral?" Followed by someone said, "We just found out we had our first baby. God was faithful to us." Followed by a phone call, "We just lost our baby and now we're grieving." How many know a life of a day and a life of a pastor has ebbs and flows like a roller coaster, ups and downs? It's just part of ministry, just part of the everyday life. But here's the beauty of pastors like yours. Pastors move beyond them for the sake and the benefit of the congregation because pastors are called to do this. It's not a job. It can never be a career. It's a calling. Ephesians 4 says this, "So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers to do something, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Notice it doesn't say to equip the saints to do the work of the pastor's job. No, to do the work of service that God created you to do. Listen, you have pastors in your church, but every single person in this room is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, called and gifted and anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit to do amazing things. Don't ever devalue your role as God created you. Then he says, until what? We reach the unity of faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let me summarize that verse. Christ called, and Pastor Brad and Rhonda said yes. Christ assigns a challenge to equip his people for the work of the service of Christ, and Pastor Brad and Rhonda said yes. Christ issued a desired goal or vision until there's full unity, knowledge, and maturity, and the fullness of Christ is achieved here at Brighton Assembly of God, and they said yes. This is a high calling that they have walked out and lived for 30 years of ministry. All of it focused on accomplishing God's will as they watch you grow into who God designed you to be. It is awesome to be a pastor of people because it is a high calling to be taken seriously. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." There's a tenderness to pastoring. There's a care to pastoring. There's an intentionalness. There's a humility. There's a preparedness. That's not a word, but I made it up. There is a preparedness to ministry. James 3:1 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." How many understand? Scripture says what they preach, not just from the stage, but in their lives, is held at a high level. God watches that we don't twist or manipulate the word of God for our own gain. How many are grateful? Your pastor has preached the word of God, not part of the word of God, not his own version of the word of God. How many are grateful for a true Bible teaching and preaching pastor? I'm telling you. Let me just say this. I didn't mention this at the beginning like I should have. Pastor Brad, as you know, serves as the assistant superintendent for the Michigan Ministry Network. And I'm so grateful that my first year, the relationship, the love, the support, and the encouragement that they have been to us has been wonderful. It's not just that they serve here. They serve beyond here as well. There's the public and the private side of ministry. And then I want to hit this for a few minutes. I've got about 7 minutes left. By the way, when pastors say in closing and they don't, they're not lying to you. They're just giving you hope that you know that they know it has to end, okay? So when Pastor Brad says in closing and you go, "That's 15 more minutes," he didn't lie. He's just letting you have hope, okay? The good pastor, okay? And then there's the personal life of a pastor. There's the public ministry, there's the private ministry, and the personal life of a pastor. That's why Acts chapter 20, verse 28 exists. Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Let me just start at the end of that verse. How many know this verse makes it clear? The stakes of this are high because the purchase of you was the cross. This is no joke ministry. This is not something to take lightly. Jesus paid a price. God gave his only begotten son that whoever believeth, by the way, whoever believeth, that means there is nobody on earth not possibly able to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You've got a terrible person in your life? How many know? God has redeemed some very terrible persons in life. Don't give up. Have hope. I don't know why I feel this right now, but for someone in this place or watching online who feels they've lost hope for a loved one, don't. God is a miracle-working God, and he is relentlessly pursuing people to him. Amen? Why? Because this is a high calling, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know the pastor goes home and has this might be a shock to you, has the same problems as you do. Their grass still grows. Their grass still dies. They have bills to pay. Believe this or not, not Eli and Ellie, but they have children at home who might not act right sometimes. Of course, not your kids, but senior year of high school comes, and that will literally bankrupt anybody. And then it starts college. That finishes you off. Pastors have arguments with their spouses. Of course, Brad and I are the weak links in our marriages, of course. It's always our fault. We know that. It is. They have to think about retirement, live with parents who are aging, children who struggle with their faith, real people with real emotions. Pastors are just like you. Opinions and criticisms hurt them just like they hurt you. Here's a little secret too. Pastors don't always have a season. They have seasons throughout ministry where they're not sure they're doing a great job. And there are moments where their confidence struggles just like you. See, pastors have seasons where they don't even really feel close to God. Now, you might say, I can't believe that. No, I don't mean that they're away from God or out of faith, but they have seasons where they're asking God for direction and they don't feel like they can get the answer, just like you. And that's why Paul gives those instructions. Keep watch over yourself, personally. Not a selfish or some sort of me-first instruction. Paul simply says, unless a leader takes care of their own spiritual life, they will have nothing to give to the flock. Or worse, they'll bring the negativity of their life to the ministry, to the flock. Brad and Rhonda, I'm thankful you have continually done so in your own inner life. And I know you maintain a close and open relationship with the Lord. Maybe one of the best qualities that should be celebrated about you two today is that you've never taken your eyes off Jesus. You know, Brad and I and Rhonda and I have the same experience of growing up in faith. My wife grew up in faith later in life. But I can tell you something. Somebody asked me, why have you served the Lord your whole life? My simple answer is I've never found anything better. And there's something amazing when you can serve the Lord for as long as they have, but also lead a church for as long as they have, and they still are discovering the depth of who Jesus is every day. That is a gift in leadership, that they're still hungry to know Jesus more. I can tell you when we were singing the name of Jesus, I will tell you, I don't know what was going on, but Rhonda was calling things down from left and right, and I am so fired up right now in my spirit. And she is a way better singer than Brad or I combined. So thank God for that. Keep watch over yourselves personally. And you have. Keep watch over your family. Eli and Ellie are spectacular kids. They're wonderful. Congregation, understand though, they're just kids. One of the greatest gifts my church gave me was to let me just be a kid in my church. I made the same mistakes. When I spoke out of line, the teachers disciplined me just the same way. I got in trouble. Listen, they're kids. But they're part of the responsibility. They parent while they pastor. And out of that inner commitment of watching over themselves, it says, lead the flock. I'll hit this real quick. As an overseer, as one who oversees the whole thing, as a shepherd, caring, feeding, rescuing the wandering sheep, correcting sheep, leading them to new pastures, protecting them from outside things, as a leader filled with faith and vision, as one who seeks the mind, his ways, the mind of Christ, and preaches the word, and as ones who lead and equip others. You know, one of my favorite portions of Scripture, I'm coming to an end, those who are on your time clocks, that's a miracle happening right here in your midst. Let me say this to you. You remember the story when Jesus turned water to wine, the first miracle? There's something fascinating about that story. When Jesus, how many love it that Mary, Jesus' mom, starts bossing Jesus around? I love that. What are you going to do about this? He sends the servants down. They fill the cisterns. They bring the cisterns back up. Who gets the credit for that day? The master of the house. Read the text. People say, oh, he saved the choicest wine to the end. Oh, the master of the house. I could tell you something interesting about that text. While they stood there and he was being celebrated, all the servants who carried the cisterns were standing there going, I know who the miracle worker was. It was Jesus that the servants of that time knew did the miracle. Everyone else just experienced what the miracle was. I could tell you, as God has used Pastor Brad and Rhonda to fill the cisterns, those who have served alongside of them, you have seen the miracles of what Jesus has done. For those of you who've been here 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, maybe 30 years, maybe you were here even before Pastor Brad and Rhonda came. Can I tell you, as you have served in the ministry, you understand what 30 years of celebration is more than most. Because the more you serve, the more you fill the cistern, the more you carry the cistern up the hill and watch what God does with the work of your hand, the more you stand back and say, Jesus, 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 you're amazing at what you've done. Yes. Pastor Brad and Rhonda and your money didn't build this vision. God did through you. Yes. The things that you've accomplished through missions, foster care, outreach, and evangelism, did not happen just because of you, but because of what Jesus did through you collectively as a whole. You've carried the cisterns alongside of Pastor Brad and Rhonda as they've carried them alongside of you. The public side, the private side, and the personal side. And let me conclude with a couple last thoughts. There's a beautiful part of ministry, too, that people don't understand fully. There's nothing more beautiful than preaching and seeing someone come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's still the most beautiful thing to ever see. And to be a part of that is an amazing, amazing moment. Watching people grow. I knew your youth pastor, next gen pastor, Aaron, before he was Aaron and he was just AJ. To watch what God's done in your life and to see you here serving today is a gift you get of ministry. The joy of knowing people are serving in their calling, the stuff in ministries pastors get to see and see behind the scenes is an amazing thing. Part of what keeps a pastor for 30 years is when their congregation is truly that amazing. And so I conclude with this, Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Remember, they're judged more strictly. Do this so that their work will be a joy. Come on now. Do this so that 30 years of ministry happens and we want more years of ministry. How many say amen to that? I accidentally was talking to Pastor Brad on the phone and I said, yeah, I'll be there Sunday. And I was talking about another church and I said, and I'll be announcing that so-and-so is a candidate at the church. And I go, at Brighton. And he goes, what? And I go, no, not Brighton, a different church. It was terrible. Okay. We laughed really hard. I said, wrong. Surprise. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit. Check that out. To you. To have a pastors who serve with joy is because of the way you serve with joy. And when those things come together, and God puts a pastor and his spouse and a team together and their ministry together, in a church that loves God, they get to get here and be here 30 years. My brother went hunting with his friend Dennis, and then we're going to give something to Pastor Brad and Rhonda. He went hunting with his friend Dennis. It's a funny story, and they shot a deer, and it didn't die, and they were tracking it, and my brother went one way, and his friend Dennis went another way. He hears Dennis begin to scream, and he comes around the corner, and what happened was there was a fence, and the deer, wounded, started to charge him, and Dennis grabbed onto the horns, and when my brother comes around the corner, he's wrestling a deer by the horns. And he's yelling, shoot! And Nathan's like, I might shoot you. He goes, I don't care, you know? He's like, boy, I don't want you to die. He goes, this thing's going to kill me. And it was this whole thing. Listen, for many pastors, ministry is like Dennis and the deer. People grab on and they hold on for dear life, yelling for somebody to either kill the deer or kill them. But either way, they hold on for dear life. I'm thankful that for 30 years, they haven't had to hold on to the deer because your church has been amazing to them. You are sons and daughters, Brighton, of the Most High God. We have to believe God has called us for a great purpose. God is for you. His word is true. Keep living on mission and make hell notice. Listen, Choco de Jesus, our general treasurer, makes this comment. He says, I kind of want to pick a fight with the devil. I like to say it this way. Make hell regret the day you were born. And may hell be afraid of what God is doing through Brighton Assembly of God. My prayer is that the devil gets nervous when he sees what you do. Remember, today is not just honoring the Trast for 30 years. It's the beginning of honoring the call of God on their life and on this body for the years ahead. Pastor Brad and Rhonda, thank you for being our friends. Thank you for being great pastors. We have a little gift for you, and Jamie, you can just give it to them. They'll be up here later on, but you can hand me the plaque. I just want to read this, and then we'll give that to them. It says, the Michigan Ministry Network conveys its congratulations and appreciation to Bradley and Rhonda Trask for 30 years of faithful ministry as lead pastor of Brighton Assembly of God, September 11th, 2022. And we also have a personal gift from Jamie and I. And we wanted to love their kids, so there's a little gift for Eli and Ellie. And I'm just going to warn you, there's some sugar in it, and I apologize in advance. And so beyond that, I just want to say this. Celebrate them today and celebrate them moving forward. Tell them thank you all the time. People assume pastors get encouraged more than they do. And so I just want you to celebrate them. So Brad and Rhonda, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come. I did go a few minutes over. The Lord will forgive me, and hopefully you will too. God bless.